Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm. We'll read verses 9 through 16 together. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I'll read yet one other verse. You need not turn there. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7 reads, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, please use our preacher in a mighty way today. Fill him with your power. Lord, he has a message from you, directly from you. And if we don't hear that, we'll not be hearing from you. So please use us today and use our ears in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am going to ask that as a congregation we settle ourselves. I'm a little afraid that we're going to find ourselves frustrated throughout the sermon if we're not careful. So please, everybody settle in. I don't need anybody else to get up and walk out unless it's a dire emergency. You can be dead sure that when a truth is to be preached that could change someone's life, the devil will fight it. People not knowing that the devil would use them to frustrate others may find themselves being a contributor to it, but they don't realize that. So please, if you will, give me your undivided attention. There is no doubt in my mind. You came here today so that you could grow in the Lord. What I'll preach to you today will help you to grow. It does not matter at what level of Christianity you are at. If you're here and you've only been saved a few days, if you'll do what you're taught this morning, you're going to become a far better Christian because of it. If you're here and you've been saved for 60 or 70 years and you think you've heard everything preached that could be preached, if you'll listen today, you are going to grow. Let me say this before I start. Years ago, there was a man that was a very, very capable man, seemingly a very good Christian. I'm talking about, I watched this man. He was as productive as a man could be in Christianity. He brought people virtually by the hundreds, even the thousands, he brought them to church. He was not a pastor, but he was an incredible man. He could get up, he could speak, and he influenced people. He did preach some. He was a great leader. And suddenly, I mean just suddenly, word came, he had ran off with a woman other than his wife. And everybody was shocked. Now, here's what I want you to hear. To us, it was suddenly. To him, it was finally. Because now he has finally done on the outside what he had been thinking about on the inside. The thing is, we could not see on the inside. All we could see is the outside. So did you hear me? I said to us it was suddenly, but to him it was finally, because finally he is now doing on the outside what had been going on the inside of him. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." You heard that old saying, "You are what you eat"? Well, I've got an even greater revelation to you. You are what you think. You are what you think. You are not what I think you are. You are what you think. Now, I'm not saying you are what you think you are. I am saying you are what you think. What goes on the privacy of the inside of your mind and heart, that's you. That's you. You're not as moral as you try to make us think you are. You are as moral as you think. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, says the Bible. You're not as loyal as you try to make us think you are. You are as loyal as you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're not as spiritual as you try to make us think that you are. You are as spiritual as you think. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're not as honest as you try to make us think you are. You are as honest as you think. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're not as forgiving as you try to make us think you are. You are as forgiving as you think. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're not as dedicated as you would like to try to make us think you are. You are as dedicated as you think. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, the real you is only known by you and God. The rest of us only get to see what you want us to see. I want to read a verse to you. I don't want you to have to turn to it. I'll read it from the King James Bible. You listen. Let me show you a little something here that will help us today. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, that word conversation there means your lifestyle coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. What's that verse teaching? Those three or four verses. It says the wife is to submit to her husband. That's what verse number one says. Then it says in verse number two, the husband then will see that outward submission. Then it says number three, it says that outward submission should not be a show. It should not be a put on. It ought to be real. And verse number four says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In other words, God was saying you ought to submit. When you do, your husband will see it, but it shouldn't be just an outward show. That ought to you ought to truly want to submit in your heart. But he said there, let it be the hidden man. You want to know something? Every human being under the sound of my voice has a hidden man. Inside your body dwells you. You hear that? Inside your body dwells you. Inside the shell of your public presentation is the real you. If you're a thinking person, I want to help you today. The real you is the hidden you. What's hidden in your mind? What's hidden in your heart? What's hidden in your thinking? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are as moral as the hidden you. You are as loyal as the hidden you. You are as spiritual as the hidden you. You are as forgiving as the hidden you. You are as dedicated as the hidden you. You are as honest as the hidden you. You are as clean as the hidden you. We talk about this thing called motives. Now, I can't judge your motives. So I always will give you the benefit of the doubt on your motives. I want to believe good about you. I can't judge your motives. You can't judge my motives. You can't judge one another's motives. We somehow think that we've got some word of knowledge, and you can read my mind, and I can read your mind. That is not possible. You cannot read my mind. I cannot read your mind. You can't judge my motives. I can't judge your motives. That's unfair. I can't judge your motives because I can't see them. But let me tell you something. Your motives are what you're thinking while you're doing what you're doing, and what you're thinking is what you really are. Your motives are what you're thinking while you're doing what you're doing. And what you're thinking is what you really are, even if it doesn't match what you're doing.
Right.
Hey, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know your motives, but God does. God knows the real you. You may have a difficult time with a sermon as revealing as this because you're going to come face to face with yourself. People don't like that kind of preaching. People don't like it when we're required to face ourselves. Hey, we don't like it when we're required to face the holiness of God. You don't have to spend your life facing me. You better spend your life facing God. You better spend your life facing you for what you really are. Hey, wouldn't it be something if there was such thing as a motive or a mind-reading x-ray machine? Wouldn't that be something? Hey, like at the airport. I go to the airport and they put my luggage through an x-ray machine. They put me through a machine where when I walk through, they have a metal detector. I wonder if they had, instead of a metal detector, they had a mental detector. It would tell us not what others think, but what you're thinking. See, somehow we're pleased as long as we give the impression. Wait a minute. Are we not supposed to be real? Should not the impression that we give about what we are truly be what we are? Hey, what's going on? The hidden man or the hidden woman. What is inside of you? The one that you talk to as you talk to yourself and reason within yourself. You're not what we think you are. You are what you think. You're not as clean as you try to make us think you are. You're as clean as you think. Because of this today, I am not going to preach to the part of you that I see. I'm going to preach to the other part of you, the real you. I'm going to show you something. This is a jack-in-the-box. No, this is a Jeff-in-the-box. I've got a Jeff-in-the-box. You see, there's something inside here that you can't see. There's something inside there. Just like inside your mind, there are some gears that churn and turn. And as I begin to crank this thing, the internal works begin to move. Just like some of your thoughts, what you have down inside you, they begin to churn and they begin to move. And I'll tell you what happens eventually. Watch this. Out came what was on the inside. Let me tell you something. Whatever is inside you, you better get it cleaned up, because sooner or later it may pop out and we'll see what you've been hiding. That's what happens with a Jeff in the box. Boy, you get those thoughts a-turning. You think you're hiding them, and all of a sudden, out they pop. Out they pop. The song, Pop Goes the Weasel. Now, the weasel in cartoons so often is not the good guy. You know what I just showed you? The hidden man. The hidden you. Not the you that tries to give us the impression that you're spiritual. The you. the real you. You know, let this sermon get past your surface acting. Let's just get down to business. Let's go where no man has gone before. Let's get down inside your mind and down inside your heart for a little while. That hidden part of you. You know something? Every Christian under the sound of my voice had better make sure that we keep the inside clean. We better make sure that we are taking care of what's going on in our minds and what's going on in our hearts. Did you hear about the man that went to see a psychiatrist? He went in and he said, "Doc, I just don't feel like myself." And the doctor said, what do you feel like? He said, I think I'm a dog. Psychiatrist said, how long have you felt that way? And the guy said, ever since I was a puppy. Maybe it was after his house broke. I'm not sure. Hey, you may feel real spiritual, but you might be acting like a dog. You may give that impression. Let me show you something. If you today would like to make sure that the hidden man, the hidden woman, if you today would like to make sure that what's on the inside is clean, I can help you do that. Now, somebody here, this is going to be a spiritual lesson, and that's not going to interest you. You're more than happy giving an impression on the outside while there's something unreal happening on the inside. But if you're here today, you have a desire to be spiritual. If you have a desire to step up from whatever level of Christianity you are practicing, I will guarantee you beyond any shadow of a doubt, the teaching of the Scripture today can help get the Jeff in the box cleaned up. So if he happens to pop out, he's not embarrassing. Let me tell you how we do it. Psalm 119, we read it earlier. We'll go from verse to verse this morning, and I will show you what God wants you and I to do to make sure that the hidden man or the hidden woman inside us is right with God and we're not phonies. First of all, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." What is this? God says your mind needs some purification. Needs some purification. Notice it says there, cleanse. Shall a young man cleanse his way? Every one of our minds need cleansed, folks. That mind in there, nobody can see it, so we don't take as good care of it as what we should. Sometimes we let filth get to roaming around in our minds and we pack it full of dirty, nasty things. And because nobody can see it, it's one of the rooms of the house we don't clean. You know, we want to keep the living room clean because everybody that steps to the front door will see it. But what about the back room? What about in the back of the mind? How about what others cannot see, but God can see? If you want your mind to be the kind of mind that God requires, then it's going to have to be cleansed. You've got to keep your mind clean. Hey, this book right here will clean your mind. That book right there is like a spiritual detergent that will cleanse your mind. We need purification. We need our minds made pure. You need to read your Bible. So, Brother Owens, you're always coming back to that. You're right. And I'll always come back to that if I'm in good spiritual sense or good frame of mind spiritually with God. This book is the Word of God. It will cleanse us. It will change us. And you need to read it. Whoever you are, you need to read your Bible. Every person on the lower floor of this auditorium, you need to read your Bible and daily. Every person on this platform, you need to read your Bible. In the balcony, you need to read your Bible. Say, are there not other tactics and techniques? Oh, there are some other things, but there is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. And if you want a clean mind, you need to read the Bible. It is the cleanest and the purest thing on this earth. The story of a farmer. You've heard this story before, I'm sure, but it bears repeating. Farmer had a young boy from the city that came to help him on the farm. They were standing on top of a little hill. At the bottom of that hill was a little stream or a brook. That farmer had a wicker basket, old basket that he'd throw a bushel of potatoes in and take them to market. He had that basket and he said to that young city fella, he said, "Young man, I want you to take this basket and I want you to go down to the brook. I want you to fill the basket to the brim with water and bring it back up to me." The young man grabbed the basket, he ran down to the brook and he dipped that basket deep into the water. He filled it all the way to the brim and then he started running back toward the top of the hill. When he arrived at the top of the hill, of course, the water had leaked out. He looked at the old man, he said, "It's empty," and the old man said, "Try again, try harder." The young man ran to the bottom of the hill, dipped the basket deep. He filled it to the brim with water. When he got back to the top of the hill, it was empty again. The old man said, "Try harder, run faster, dip deeper." The young man ran faster. He tried harder. He dipped it deeper. He filled it to the brim with water. When he got to the brim, he ran all the way to the top as fast as he possibly could. When he arrived all the way at the top, the basket again was empty. He threw that basket on the ground, and as he threw it on the ground, he said, "Hey, old man, this is not working. It's not working." And the old man said, "Young man, you now have a cleaner basket." And let me explain something to you about the Word of God. You say, "Brother Owens, I read it, but I don't seem to be holding any of it in." Brother Owens, I'm not getting anything out of reading the Bible. You listen to me, and you listen to me well. This book is a powerful book. Your mind is like a strainer, and when you run the Word of God through your mind and in your heart and in your body, you've got a cleaner strainer as a result of it. You say, "I don't seem to hold any of it in. I can read it in the morning and I've forgotten by afternoon what I've read," but your mind is cleaner as the purity of the Word of God flows through the holes of your mind out into your life. Don't you tell me that the Word of God has been weakened. Don't you tell me that the Word of God will not cleanse you. You read this book and you read it 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 and you keep on reading it. It doesn't matter what you think you're getting out of it. It matters that the Bible says it is powerful. It is the Word of God, and you need to read the book. You need purification of your mind. You know something? Those people that wouldn't like me because of the kind of preacher I am. There's some that'll make it into our church every once in a while. They'll dislike me. You know something? I don't worry about the people that dislike me that read their Bibles constantly and thoroughly. It does not worry me. I'll tell you who worries me. It's the phonies who will come to church, they'll never read their Bible, and then pass judgment on what I preach. I'm not worried about the people that love the Word of God and read the Word of God, because either me or them are going to have to change to come around to God's way of thinking. I worry about the ones that are religious on the outside, but they don't have the Word of God on the inside. They're never going to be satisfied. Never. We need an old-fashioned revival of Bible reading. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you want to know how to get the hidden man of your heart right, you've got to have your mind purified. And the greatest purifying agent anywhere in the universe is the Word of God. Now get it in your mind. Read it and read it and read it and read it. Those of you that are struggling right now with your Christianity, you need an old-fashioned dose of the Word of God. Now, you read your Bible. You read your Bible. You read your Bible. It is what will help to cleanse a young man's way. Number two, Psalm 119, verse number 10. It says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Oh, with my whole heart? What's that? That's called determination. First thing I said, you need purification. You need the Word of God to purify you. Now what do you need? You need some old-fashioned determination. With my whole heart, it says here. Are you trying to serve God with your whole heart? Are you trying to clean up your life with your whole heart? Brother Brett, I'm going to turn this mic on. Are you trying to clean up your mind with your whole heart? With all of you?
Are you giving all of you to get away from those bad habits? Are you giving all of you to becoming spiritual? Are you giving all of you to conquer Satan in your life? No, that's the problem. Here, the psalmist said, I am going to cleanse my way with the Word of God. I'll purify my mind. And then I'm going to be dedicated, and I'm going to get me some determination. I'm not going to be half-hearted. I'm going to be wholehearted about the things of God. You have a half-hearted commitment to clean up your life, and that's why your life is only half successful. That's why you take a step and fall. That doesn't change because you're only half committed. You're only here half the time. You're only interested in the things of God half the time. To whatever degree you will give yourself, you'll find that much success. We live in a welfare society, though, that wants everything for free. If God will make me into a great Christian, boy, I'll let him. But if I've got to do anything about it, hey, then I'm never going to get anywhere. If you want to be a good Christian, you can be a good Christian, just like anybody else can be a good Christian. But you're not going to get there by being half-hearted. The psalmist said, if I am going to cleanse my way, he said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Don't let anything or anybody stop you from cleansing your heart and mind. Don't let anybody or anything stop you from getting your mind cleaned up. God does not do business with those who do not mean business. God does not do business with those who do not mean business. Those of you that play church and play religion and play Christianity, you're never really going to get down to business with God. And God's not going to have a whole lot of business to share with you in regard to the spiritual things of this world. But you show me somebody that gets down to business with God and says, no matter what come hell or high water, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to become a good Christian. I'll live every word of that book, every chapter of that book, every book of that book. I'm going to do it. I'll guarantee you God's going to do something with your life. Because God can do business with somebody that means business. But when you play at church, you're not going to get anywhere. It takes determination. So if I do not want the hidden man of my heart to be soiled and embarrassing to me, if I want the inside of me to match the outside of me, I better get some purification, and that's reading the Word of God. I better get me some determination, not being half-hearted, but being wholehearted. Some of you today, I could help you have so much more of a pleasant Christian life if you just get wholehearted about it. Get in. Jump all the way in. Stop being a Christian on Sunday morning only. Stop making Sunday the only holy day. Make Monday a holy day, and Tuesday a holy day, and Wednesday a holy day, and Thursday a holy day, and Friday a holy day, and Saturday a holy day, and in the morning, and in the afternoon, and in the evening, with your whole heart, serve Him. And if you will, you'll cleanse your way. You'll get your mind. You'll get the inside of you cleaned up. That's called determination. Then, in verse 11 it says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We see purification. We see determination. Then I see fortification. You got to fortify. If you want to get your mind where it ought to be, and listen, I'm not talking to the outside of you today. I'm talking to the inside of you. Let this get down in your crawl. Let this get in your mind. Let this get down inside the real, real you, the one you have the biggest battle with. You need some fortification. You need to fortify your mind spiritually. You need to put up some barriers and some walls that keeps bad out and keeps the good in. It says here, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God is saying, if you will hide my word in your heart, it will fortify you against sin. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sin. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I better fortify myself. I better get the Word of God in my heart and mind. And the Bible here is telling us, you need to memorize some Scripture. You need to memorize some Scripture that will fortify your life so that you will not sin against God. It is in your mind and heart long before it comes out of your hands and in your feet and in your body. Sin does not start with your hands. Sin starts in your mind. Hey, you listen to me. Adultery and fornication does not start with the sexual organs of the body. It starts in the mind. In the mind, that's where it comes from. And you better fortify your mind, because whatever you let run wild in the privacy of your mind is coming out sooner or later. You're the old jack in the box, and out comes that. Out he comes. Out comes Jeff in the box. And some of you've been hanging on, and you're just cranking in your mind, and those thoughts and that wickedness, it's in there, and you keep covering it up to me, and you keep covering it up to your husband, and you keep covering it up to your wife, and it's churning, and you're churning, and you're churning, and sooner or later, Jeff in the box is going to pop out, or Joe in the box is going to pop out, or Sue in the box is going to pop out. Out pops the weasel! God said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, unto God's word. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to get wholehearted and determined to get right with God in your life. You've got to fortify. You've got to get some fortification in your life. Some of you, your weakness, hey, some of you have weaknesses of not doing good things. Let me tell you what you do. If there's some good things you need to do and you're not doing them, memorize scripture about them. That scripture will haunt you. It'll get in your mind. And it'll work on you. Because some of you need to go soul winning and tell others about Jesus Christ. What do I do? Memorize Proverbs 11:30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You know something? A dear lady that we love has passed away, a couple of them this week. I thank God for this. I thank God that somewhere tucked in the mind of Miss Gillum and Mrs. Young was a desire to tell others about Jesus Christ, because the lady that passed away today was led to Christ just a few days ago. Thank God they had in their mind soul winning. Now what's in your mind? Hey, had it been up to you, if her salvation and eternal destiny had been up to you, would she be in heaven or hell today? Think about it. Well, somebody else's destiny is in your hands. God did not leave you here just to suck down potato chips and watch TV. He left you here to influence others for heaven. You need to memorize scripture that will fortify your mind if you don't want that old weasel to pop out and ruin your life. If you've got a problem with alcohol, booze, liquor, you need to memorize some scripture about it. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You start memorizing every scripture you can where it says, the God of the universe says it's wrong, it's wicked, it's sin. You begin to fortify yourself. If your problem is temper, and a bunch of you need to memorize every verse you can get your hands on about self-control and temper. You're unkind to your wife, you're unkind to your kids, you're unkind to each other, you're a hellcat at work, and God knows if you acted like that at church, you'd be very embarrassed. Well, let me tell you something. We're to be reaching the people that you work with, and you're to be controlling yourself at work too. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Somebody here needs to memorize that verse and quote it to yourself all day long. You get up in the morning and you quote it to yourself, and you quote it at lunch, and you quote it at supper, and you quote it before you go to bed, and you quote it in your sleep. Why? You better fortify your mind, or the weasel's going to pop out. You got to get yourself cleansed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there unto his word. You've got to have purification of the word of God. You've got to have determination of giving your whole heart. You've got to have fortification of pumping the word of God into your mind. You have a bad time and you struggle keeping your mouth shut. You're critical. You're a gossip. Boy, somebody in the church can make a mistake, something can go wrong. Everybody calls you.
You thought it's because you were the Pope.
No, it's because you're a garbage disposal, and they all know you'll suck down all the trash that anybody sends your way. I'm glad. You know something? I'm one of the last ones to find anything out about bad things that happen around the church. You wonder why everybody's afraid to come to me. They'll tell you, and you're the guru of gossip. You better memorize James 3:6, where the Bible says the tongue is set on fire of hell. It's time for some of you to get serious about the power that this book demonstrates and let it take over your mind. Why? Because it takes purification. It takes determination. It takes fortification. Then he says here in verse number 12, as we just go through the verses, it says in Psalm 119, verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. What's this? Well, we have purification, we have determination, we have fortification, and now we have spiritual education. He said, teach me thy statutes. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. You want to know how to become spiritual? Then you're going to have to be spiritually educated. Too many of you are know-it-alls about life, and some of you need to let God start teaching you what the Bible says about life. Guess who created you? God created you. Guess who created your heart? God. Guess who created your emotions? God. Guess who created your strengths? God. Guess who created your weaknesses? God. It would seem to me that then God knows everything you need to know to control you. Hey, you need a spiritual education. You need to get to God. Guess what I have right here? I have the spiritual textbook. Right there. If you want education about how to handle your life, right there it is. It's God's textbook. That book right there, it is the book that God uses to guide us. He gave us a textbook. What's the church? That's a schoolhouse. This church is like God's preschool. God's grade school. God's junior high school. God's high school. God's college. You say, who are the teachers? The Holy Spirit and the people that stand, the men of God that teach the Bible. Those are who the teachers are. The Holy Spirit is the one that instructs the preacher. The preacher then teaches the people the Word of God. People ought to be reading the Word of God for themselves and living it for themselves. And they come to church and they get a higher education about what the Word of God says. This place is God's educational center. If you want your mind strengthened so the weasel does not pop out and ruin you, if you want yourself truly cleaned up, you're going to have to make sure you get yourself a spiritual education. Somebody needs to educate you on how the devil is. Somebody needs to educate you about the doctrines of the Bible and the divisiveness of the devil and all the ways that he twists and turns and all the slick ways that he tries to deceive us. Somebody better teach you that Jesus Christ is the overcomer. Somebody better teach you what the Bible says, and you better claim the scriptures, but you can't claim what you don't know and you won't know unless you show up at school and you read the textbook. You play hooky. Hey, what would you think? What would you think? Folks, I really don't need any more disturbances. Ever since I said it, I've had four different people walk out. Please, I beg of you. I need your undivided attention, please. But we play hooky, don't we? I'll show up at school when I feel like it. If our children were as faithful to our schools that we send them to and use the same attitudes that we use about God's schooling, you'd be irate. It's what you say to your kids. Your kids get up in the morning and say, I don't feel like going to school. You say, I don't care how you feel. You're going to school. Oh, but you can miss church, and you say, well, I don't feel like it. Hypocrite. Well, my friends don't want me to go to school. We want to go fishing, Brother Jones. Yeah, we want to go fishing. You say, you're not going fishing instead of going to school, but you'll go to the lake instead of come to church. Hypocrite.
Yes, sir.
Mama, I want to stay home, watch TV. What? You're not going to stay home and watch TV instead of go to school. Then you'll stay home Sunday night, watch TV instead of come to church Wednesday night. Man, we need some spiritual education. It's time for us to start taking the education of the spiritual as seriously as we take the education of the humanity part of us. Look, you may get some education down here that will help you to make it in this life till you're 60 or 70. But you're going to get education from that book because you're going to need it for all eternity. You say, I got to get prepared for my career and I got to get prepared for success and to make money. You're only going to live down here for 70 or 80 years. Then we're going to glory. We're going to live forever. You better get you an education. You want your mind strong, it's going to need spiritually educated. We've got to get that education. We play hooky. We're too busy attending the devil's university of Hollywood and all the man-made music and everything. We're pumping our brain full of all that instead of pumping our brain full of the Word of God and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And we wonder why our minds run wild and do to us what they do. It's because we have not fortified. It's because we have not educated. It's because we have not purified. It's because we are not dedicated. We are playing church, and as long as you think you impress me, you think you're fine, you don't need to impress me, you need to impress God. It is God that knows how spiritual you really are. It is God that knows what goes on behind your eyelids and your proper dress and all of that. God knows what's going on down inside you. It is God that knows the inner man. Oh, would to God we were interested in being spiritual and holy in the sight of God instead of impressing everyone. What does it take? It takes purification. It takes determination. It takes fortification. It takes spiritual education. Then it takes verbalization, according to the Bible. Listen to this. Next verse, verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? We get to verse number 13. He said, with my lips I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. What's God saying? He said, with my lips, what is that? That is verbalization of what's being learned. You know what you need to do? If you want the inside of you to be cleaned up, if you want to be careful that old weasel doesn't pop out and embarrass you and choke the life out of you someday, if you'd really like to get control of yourself so you're real on the inside, like you try to give the impression you are on the outside, you need to start talking about what you're learning about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme throughout all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. You better start verbalizing what you're learning. You need to start talking about what you read. It's time for us to talk about the Word of God. Stand around, talk about the Word of God. Talk to somebody about the Word of God. It's time for us to memorize that word and talk about what we memorize. It's time for us to talk about the things that we learn at church. I'll tell you something. Some of you would win the people to Christ that you work with if you just go to work and tell somebody what you learned at church. It's enough to entice someone. It's enough to make somebody hungry. There are people out there that would like to hear some truth. There are some people out there that would like to hear about the Bible. We talk about everything under the sun because we're ashamed of who we are and what we are. I'm telling you, if you want your mind strengthened, if you want the inner you strengthened, you need to start verbalizing what you're learning that is spiritual. You need to talk about Jesus at work and talk about Jesus at home and talk about the Bible at school. You know, we don't want to talk the Jesus talk because we're ashamed. To be really spiritual, we're ashamed. This morning, I ran by the Cracker Barrel. Let me tell everyone in the house, there's only one store that you can buy a Jack in the Box. Because I've been to them all. It's a Cracker Barrel, and they don't have any on the shelf. You go in the back room, you turn right. It's on the second shelf from the bottom. And you got to dig through about 15 boxes to get to it. I was there. I was there this morning. She said, well, we used to have them. I said, ma'am, do you have any more? She said, I don't know. There's none on the shelf. I said, how about the back room? She said, well, we can check. I said, oh, please, can we check? I've been at Cracker Barrel in the back room today. Got me a Jack in the Box. She said, why? I was determined. But you know something? I was at that Cracker Barrel getting ready to check out with my Jack in the Box. And the man was standing there, and the lady behind the counter was taking our money. She said to the man in front of me that was paying for his things, she said, sir, would you like an almanac? He said, how much is it? She said, it's free. He said, why, sure. He took it, started to walk away, turned around, said, man, you know, nothing's free. There are all sorts of people in the store. She said, well, you know, I guess you're right. I said, wait a minute. I said, salvation's free. Yeah. Everybody in the store looking at me like steel, looking at magnets. I said, I'm a born-again Christian, and when I got saved, it was free. It cost Jesus a lot, but didn't cost me a thing. I'm saved, and salvation's free. The man said, you're right, sir. And you want to know something? I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I belong to Jesus. And I'm not afraid to talk about it. There are people in this room, you cower at the thought of speaking up for Jesus Christ. He is disappointed. He is humiliated at your cowardice. Now stand up and be, hey, if you would just stand up, we could help clean up some of your lives. But I'm going to tell you why some of you got all sorts of things flinging around in your mind because you won't stand up and fortify, you won't purify, you won't, hey, you will not speak up to save your purity. You sit there and you listen to every filthy joke that everybody at work tells and you laugh. You say, well, yeah, I don't want to offend them. I'm a Christian. If you were a Christian, you'd stand up. They just offended Jesus. And I'm not talking about grabbing somebody by the throat or yanking them around or anything. We don't need you to do that. We do need you to have the guts to walk away or to say, I'm sorry, I'd rather not hear that. I am a Christian. I believe in purity. Verbalization. Talk about it. Talk about the Bible. Talk about your church. Talk about the things of God. Talk about what you read. Talk about what was preached. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Let me tell you something, folks. The world and the devil's talking as fast as they can. They're ruining our country. They're ruining our children's minds. But we won't talk about Jesus. What do? You want a clean mind? You want a pure mind? You're going to have to purify it. Purification. You're going to have to get some determination and stop being half-hearted. You're going to have to get some fortification in that mind. You're going to need a spiritual education. You're going to need to begin some verbalization and talk about it. Then what? Some of you need it to give yourself a little spiritual evaluation. Verse number 14, it says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You know what he's done here? The psalmist is saying, I have compared God and God's Word to riches, and I rejoice in God's Word more than I do the riches of this world. He has now evaluated his Christianity. He stopped to look at what he is really, really, what he really has going for him. He said, I thought through it, and I want God more than even riches. God means more to me than riches. Why some of you won't speak up is because some of your dealings with the filthy people are about money. Money. And you're not about to say Jesus' name in front of somebody that could give you money. Why? Because you love it more than you love him. Oh, we better evaluate what is most important to you. What's most important to you? Let me remind you again, you may spend 70, 80, 90. I hope somebody here gets 100 years in this life. But after you've spent your 100 years in this life, you will close your eyes in death and you will open them in life. And when you do, you'll spend your eternity with the one who really counted. And you'll look back and say, I cannot believe the way I acted for those years down there. Why didn't I do more? Why wasn't I committed? Why did I play the game? Why did I get sucked into the world? Why was I satisfied with such a liberal Christianity to the point where there were no requirements and I could live any way I wanted and do anything I wanted? Why did I do that? Why did I sell out so cheap for a God that I have now discovered in all eternity is so holy? I must fall in His presence at the glory of His being. You'll figure it out. You better decide what's really important to you. Get this. Decide. Is your flesh more important to you and pleasing your flesh than pleasing your God? That's why you'll fornicate. Because making your body tingle for 6 seconds is more important than being spiritual. That's why you'll commit adultery. That's why you'll continue in your sin, because the tingle of the physical is more important than the immensity of the spiritual. That's why you'll continue to steal from your boss. That's why you'll continue to do those things that are pleasing to your flesh. Listen, we better evaluate what is most important to us. You say, Brother Owens, I would like to be spiritual. All right, let me tell you what you do. You're going to need to purify yourself by reading the Bible daily. You're going to need to get determined, and you're going to stop being half-hearted and do what you do and everything you do for God with all your might. You're going to have to fortify yourself and begin to memorize the Scripture so you can refute the weaknesses in your life. You're going to need a spiritual education. Stay in the book. Stay in church. Don't play hooky. Show up so you can be educated. You're going to need to learn to verbalize and speak up for what you believe, because it shows us on the outside what you've tucked on the inside. You're going to need to evaluate yourself and decide what is most important, God or me, this life or the next life, the physical tingle or the spiritual purity that I'm looking for. Then what do you do? Well, and we're about done. I'm about out of words that end with T-I-O-N, so okay. What do you do next? Verse number 15, it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. What do you need to do? You need meditation. It says here, I will meditate. So, I'm looking for purification. And then determination and fortification and spiritual education and a verbalization and evaluation. And now I need meditation of the things of God. What's it mean? Concentrate on being spiritual. Concentrate. You want it? Do you really want to be spiritual? Do you really want to clean up your mind? Do you really want to conquer the inside of you and quit playing games on the outside? And let me tell you something. You're going to have to get down to it. And you're going to have to concentrate and say, I want this. I want it. I am going to overcome with the power of God. I am going to change by the power of God. You're going to have to concentrate on it. Concentrate. Fight the mental war. It's a mental war, isn't it? When the wicked pops in, implanted by the devil, your mind better say, gotta get it out. I've gotta get that out of my mind. I do not want to look at her that way. I do not want to think that about him. Oh God, give me the Scripture. Help me, Lord, I've gotta get that out of my mind. I'm gonna fight it until it's gone, instead of letting it entertain you, because nobody else knows it's in there. But you're a pacifist when it comes to being spiritual, aren't you? Well, I'm a warrior. When the devil tries to cram things in my brain, I go to war. I've worked too hard and too long to try to get my mind cleaned up. I'm not going to give the devil my mind. I'm going to fortify. I'm going to pick up the sword of the Spirit and the sword of the Word of God, and we're going to battle. I'll fight for my mind. I'm not giving my mind over to the devil. I'm not giving my mind over to Hollywood. I'm not giving my mind over to filthy music and lewd women that want to unclothe themselves half naked in society. I'm not going to do it. That's God's mind. I gave it to him a long time ago. I'm honor bound to keep it clean and pure. And I'm not supposed to be just putting on a front. It's supposed to be true. And pure. You just keep that old crank and all those thoughts turning. The weasel's going to pop out. What does it mean? Meditate. Some of you need some quiet time spiritually to make some decisions about life. Stop making your decisions in the flesh and what will benefit you, what you like, and what will make everybody happy. Start doing what God wants. Stop to think, what does God want me to do? I must meditate on what God wants. Say, how will I know that? That book right there. It'll tell you the difference between right and wrong. Quit pumping your head full of all the humanism in the public schools of our generation and all the filth that's out there. Stop doing that. Stop watching all the psychologists on television to make your decisions about your family. Get your family in church. Get you a Bible. Clean up your life and salvage what God has given you. Oh, and I'm finished and you're glad. I'm not. Finally, in verse number 16, it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. You know what that is? That's exuberation. Well, you say, Brother Owens, exuberation, what's that? The word delight there. What's that? Exuberation means get excited about the right things. Get excited about spiritual things. It's right here in the Bible. He starts out, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? We see everything we're supposed to do, and he winds it up here by saying, I will delight myself in thy statutes and thy ways. You know what he is saying to us? Once you get to doing all this stuff, get excited about it. Get excited about it. Get excited about church. Get excited about purity. Hey, listen, around here, it's not, well, we have to go to church. Gotta go to church. No, I don't know about you. I get to go to church. I'm glad to be at church. I want to be at church. And if you were spiritual, that is how you would feel. Well, we gotta go. They're gonna think we're not members anymore. Haven't been, you know, three or four times in the last couple weeks. We better show up. You ought to get excited about church. The exuberation, the excitement, the delight of the things of God. Hey, listen, get excited about purity. Why don't you get yourself as spiritually charged up and excited about purity as your flesh gets excited when it sees something filthy that turns you on? Won't you get so pumped up spiritually that purity is a passion? You lust for purity and holiness as much as you allow your body and your mind to lust for filth. Let the passion of God take over in your life to where you long and you thirst and you desire Him so much you can hardly control these desires you have for God. Instead of your flesh. Because you want money. And you want to talk bad about someone to make yourself look better. And your sexual desires where you let them run wild in your head and eventually they pop out like the weasel. What you watch and what you read and what you see and what you think about and you let them run wild. Won't you get so consumed with God and get excited about the things of God like you get excited about your pornography. And the men that you flirt with at work that you ladies should not be flirting with. Hey, become exuberant. The exuberation. Get excited about the right kind of music. Like you used to get excited at your rock concert where everybody's drunk and stripping naked. Oh yeah, yeah. We can't get you to open your mouth at church and sing. Get excited about the bus ministry. Bring little boys and girls to Sunday school. Get excited about the soul winning ministry. Get excited about night church. Get excited about the Bible truth. Hey, be delighted and share it. Boy, let's let the world know what God's doing around this place. I'm excited about what God's doing. God is in this place. There's some of you sitting there so shell-shocked right now, you're saying, I ain't never heard a man talk like this before. What it is, the Holy Spirit of God's got down deep in your heart and mind. Somebody's got past your fake outside facade. Somebody's talking to the inside of you. And so you know, a man can't talk to the inside of you. God does it. Delight thyself. You say, what do I have to be delighted about? If you'll do everything I just taught you, you're going to be so excited about the freedom that you'll have to be spiritual. It'll be amazing. You say, this is great. Back when I was half-hearted, I was always struggling. I always felt bad about everything all the time. My life was a mess. It seemed like everything turned out wrong after wrong after wrong after wrong. Hey, let me tell you, I started doing what the Bible said. I started reading it and obeying it and living it and singing about it. And I cleaned up my life and wow, I'm doing it. I'm living for God. This is so exciting. This is so great. I'm overcoming all that nasty, filthy thinking process that's got me down and bogged down and depressed because I don't forgive. And I've done all that unconfessed sin. But you know what? I started doing what the Bible said. Hey, it's real. Woo! This is great. You think you're free because you went out and got drunk last night and laid with a bunch of whores. Let me tell you what freedom is. Freedom is this morning. I've got my wife of 25 years and my children in church. Hey, look, I don't have a hangover. I have a headache, but I don't have a hangover right now. It's from somebody screaming for the last 45 minutes. Let me tell you what freedom is. Freedom is if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Let me tell you what freedom is. I don't have to worry about who I killed last night or who got a hold of some bad drugs or who got drunk or whose purity I destroyed. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. Oh, I have my trials and I have my difficulties in life, but I've got so much freedom, it's pathetic. Do you recognize it? If you're sitting there saying, boy, this guy could never preach like this at my church, I can preach any way I want at my church. That's freedom. It's freedom. You do it God's way and there's freedom available. That's why you ought to be exuberant. That's why you ought to have that exuberation and get excited about the things of God. He said, Brother Owens, this is all kind of new to me. Then maybe what you need is salvation. Because if you die today and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven, you can make sure of that. And the minute you get saved, God will come and live in you, and you can kick this thing in process, and you can start overcoming and becoming a victorious Christian. I said this. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're not what I think you are. You are what you think. You're not as moral as you try to make us think you are. You're as moral as you think. Your mind. Your mind. The real you is inside. I've not tried to preach this sermon to the outside of you. I'm preaching it to the inside of you. Now, would you like to make it so that when the Jeff in the box pops out, it's something good? You're going to have to fill the box with the good if you want good to come out. And so you know, sooner or later, that thing's going to pop out. You know something I seen earlier? I seen that this guy can pop out at any time. I started to play with him, and I thought, no, not now. Just like right now, I can't get him back in there. Come on, you dumb puppet. Sooner or later, he's going to pop out on you. Sooner or later, you keep churning those thoughts. He's coming out. We're going to find out. God already knows. The inner man. That's what you are. And we all struggle with this. Let's clean it up and be used of God and have His blessing on our lives. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.